Dr. Samuel Ahugan's role as senior scientist and cultural advisor to the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii puts him in a rare position at the intersection of formal science and indigenous cultural knowledge, worlds of learning that have too often been kept apart in separate silos. He's about to join the Polynesian Voyaging Society's Malama Honua Worldwide Voyage, where for a short spell he'll serve as naturalist and cultural authority, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
All right. I got to thinking about this whole thing about, you know, the separation of formal science with indigenous knowledge. And in the past, Western, whatever you call it, formal science has often overlooked what could be learned from people on the ground in areas it studies, yeah?
Well, there was this era of enlightenment that was represented by by Western ways, and anything else would be savage and pagan and primitive.
Yeah, that's right.
To be set aside, and enlightenment was to be brought to these people. There are exceptions to that, of course. You know, the Western botanists that visited Hawaii, for example, were really interested in the Hawaiian names of plants and the like, but by and large, that wasn't reflected by the majority of sciences.
And in the process, a great deal of knowledge was overlooked, or at least delayed in being brought to the people, to the wider world, right?
Oh, that's very true. I mean, when you think about Captain Cook's first visit to the Hawaiian Islands, and he noticed how immediately that the language in Hawaii was essentially the same language that he encountered in Tahiti.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, 2,500 miles of distance between them, and he didn't think
how do you
explain the similarity of language without the idea that there was frequent travel between the two.
Because as you mentioned, the enlightenment, which seems more and more of a misnomer as time goes on, but it was enlightenment thinking was, what could I have to learn from naked savages, right?
Mm. And so, you know, the idea of Hokulea now going around the world to share the idea of Malama Honua, to find out from each place that they visit what people there do in their place. What is their relationship to their place, and how do they value? What conservation actions are they engaged in?
Yeah.
And is there any place that we could find that would offer us the magic bullet for dealing with our conservation issues in Hawaii and globally? So as Hokulea re-enters home waters, right? They came out of the Panama Canal at Balboa on the west coast of Panama and entered the Pacific Ocean again for the first time in, oh gosh, years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the crew dipping their ads into the Pacific Ocean and bringing it up and bringing it to their nose in the traditional honi, the greeting, to say, "We are back." And that was a wonderful image. But Nainoa's idea is, now that we're back in home waters, it really isn't a matter of can we make it home. It's pretty much known that we have the skills to bring Hokulea back home.
Yeah, that's been established.
But each landfall that we encounter in the Pacific now represents a new milestone. Mm-hmm. Now, the Galapagos will be the first oceanic islands touched by Hokulea after leaving the Panama Canal. And, of course, the Galapagos, textbook examples of evolutionary biology, right, of the process of adaptive radiation on a volcanic island isolated from the rest of the world. And, of course, Hawaii also, with its amazing biota, you know, 90% endemism that is not found anywhere else on Earth, and the generation of biological diversity and form and function and ecology is just remarkable. So Darwin recognized this. He offered a reward to a naturalist who could bring him specimens from the Hawaiian Islands, because he was interested in what our islands here at home could offer to his thinking in evolutionary biology. He never made it here, and I don't think anybody took him up on his offer.
But the parallels between the Galapagos and the Hawaiian Islands have to do with their isolation and the fact that, as you say, what is it, endemism?
Yes.
The fact that most of the species are endemic and did all of their evolving here. Is that what that term means?
Yes, it does. And so, you know, some people say that Darwin's finches, right? Remarkable changes in their bill shape according to what the environment that they found, their seeds, insects, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they adapted their bill shapes in order to deal with those different kinds of foods and habitats. And the Hawaiian Islands are Hawaiian honey. honey creepers did much the same thing, but to an even more remarkable extent. There was a recent publication that showed that among the finches, there's a certain cluster of bill forms and shapes,
right.
And the Darwin's finches, the Galapagos finches, exceed that in certain dimensions. Mm-hmm. But the Hawaiian honey creepers just went off the charts in all directions, to huge, graceful sickle shapes for feeding off of flowers, or short little insect eating bills, gigantic bills for crunching through large seeds and the like. And not to mention the colors, red eevees and green amakihis and yellow, mamos and the like. Darwin might have actually been bewildered by that. He might not have recognized the relatedness of all of our Hawaiian honey creepers. They looked so different from each other. The saving grace of the Galapagos finches was that, by and large, their body shape and color was the same kind of drab browns and blacks.
In a way, there was less evolution going on.
Yes, and so he was able to discern their relatedness with each other and then notice that the bills were different and then work that into his theory. If he had gone to the Galapagos, learned about that kind of adaptive radiation, and then come to Hawaii, maybe he would have recognized the...
I like to think it would have led him to another plateau in his revelation, because the similarities being that in an isolated environment, Galapagos or Hawaiian Islands, it becomes a sort of enough of an enclosure to be able to study, right? That the animals that evolved here stayed here, so you don't have a lot of interference. You know how science hates.
A controlled experiment.
A controlled experiment. That's the phrase I was looking for. Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of what Hawaii has been in its evolutionary history.
Yes. And so the Galapagos is an amazing place to compare and contrast those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Unlike Hawaii, Galapagos never had a human population until recently. And interestingly enough, because that human population there now is relatively small, and because it almost all is driven by the economy of people visiting the Galapagos Islands in order to see the biological wonders there.
It's been preserved.
Each of those citizens fully recognizes where their bread and butter comes from.
Mm-hmm.
They can see that to preserve the natural environment in the Galapagos is an amazingly good thing for them. And so they're all for all of the conservation that's in place here. That's a little bit different in Hawaii, right?
It's a little bit different in Hawaii, yeah.
You know, a lot of us have been separated from the natural world here, right? We go to Costco and get the food that we need to eat.
Sure.
There's no longer this intimate attention to what the world in Hawaii tells us. And in ancient Hawaii, that was a completely different thing. The same kind of intimate attention to the waves, the stars, the clouds, the living birds of the ocean that allowed Hawaiians to traverse huge distances across the ocean. It's the same kind of intimate attention that Hawaiians had on land. And so Nainoa says the next renaissance is not the renaissance of saying that Hawaiians were superb voyagers. The next renaissance is Hawaiians were superb naturalists, ecologists, and landscape managers, should be and can be again. And that is if we can recapture that in the next decades, then Hawaii is truly a model for conservation of the world.
That's the hope.
That is. You go from the canoe and how you behave with each other and with your resources there, to the island and how you behave with each other and your resources there, to our planet and how we behave with each other and our resources here.
It makes sense to me, Sam. Won't get an argument out of me.
Well, on our way home, the spotlight will be turned back to the Hawaiian Islands and the lessons that we've learned going around the world and how we apply that once Hokulea returns.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Great
Thanks,
pleasure
Chris.
To talk to you. Dr. Samuel Ohogon is the senior scientist and cultural advisor to the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii. He's about to join the Polynesian Voyage Society's Malama Honua World Voyage in the Galapagos Islands. And you can find out more on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.